At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The son of the late Texas Governor Mark White joined the race for governor today. Andrew White is an investor from Houston. John Taylor chairs the political science department at the University of St. Thomas. He said White can approach his challenge of Republican incumbent Greg Abbott as an outsider running against a career politician.
He's self-financed, which I think helps a lot in this case. While he hasn't run for public office before, he is kind of playing that middle field to try to attract moderate voters on the Democratic Party, but more so moderate voters on the Republican side as well as independent voters.
Even with a crowded field of candidates seeking the Democratic nomination, that includes Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez, Mark Jones of Rice University said White has a chance.
I think his best bet is trying to force a runoff against Valdez, which is quite feasible given the presence of several other candidates such as Jeff Payne and Tom Wakely in the race.
Whoever becomes the Democratic nominee faces an uphill fight against Abbott. He has $40 million in campaign money, and no Democrat has won statewide office in Texas in more than 20 years. Now, as for who will replace Lupe Valdez, Dallas County commissioners could vote on an interim sheriff at their meeting on December 19th. That person will be in charge until voters elect a new sheriff in November, who will serve through the end of 2020. This week's also seen a number of campaign announcements for congressional seats being vacated by retiring lawmakers. WFAA investigative reporter Brett Shipp yesterday announced he's running as a Democrat to unseat Republican Congressman Pete Sessions. Chip Roy is looking to replace Republican Lamar Smith of San Antonio. Roy has been a staffer for multiple Republicans, including serving as a former chief of staff to Senator Ted Cruz. And State Representative and Republican Lance Gooden of Terrell is running to succeed Jeb Hensarling. The Dallas Republican announced his retirement last month. Monday is the cutoff date for candidates to file for next year's elections. The Shape of Water is the latest film from visionary director Guillermo del Toro. It features a monster who's good and humans who are the bad guys. Our big screen team talks about the history of sympathetic monsters with an SMU professor who specializes in monster movies.
I'm Stephen Becker with KERA.
And I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And our guest today is Rick Warlin, who teaches film at SMU and has, among many specialties, a specialty in horror and monster movies and other things that are scary. Rick, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thank you.
In The Shape of Water, Sally Hawkins plays a custodian at a secret government lab. And the scientists there are busy studying a human-sized aquatic creature recently brought into the lab from the Amazon. And while the researchers there treat the monster cruelly from the beginning, Hawkins' character develops a bond with the monster that drives her to act on his behalf. Now, The Shape of Water kind of flips the monster movie on its head, but it's far from the first time we've seen a movie in which the monster isn't the bad guy.
Yeah, the first thing that comes to mind for me was the Creature from the Black Lagoon movies in the 1950s.
Science couldn't explain it, but there it was, alive in the deep, deep waters of the Amazon, a throwback to a creature that had existed 100 million years ago.
The creature was one of the last of the kind of iconic Universal Studios monsters. The first one was made in 1955, and it was so successful that they made two sequels. And in fact, what happens in the last sequel, which is called The Creature Walks Among Us, is that scientists take the creature and sort of subject him to evolutionary experiments, remove his gills and make him an air-breathing creature. And he looks very much like a victim, essentially, of science at this point.
When it comes to sympathetic monsters, I guess there's a couple that come immediately to mind for me. One is King Kong, of course, who has this sort of dalliance with Fay Wray. And then Frankenstein's monster, even though he doesn't really have a love interest, well, he does in The Bride of Frankenstein, definitely seems to be sort of a victim of man's hubris, of going too far in the interests of science.
Yeah, and obviously, yes, the monster is very sympathetic because he's by turns violent and dangerous, but also this brute who's like yearning to be loved and understood in some way. Kong is, I think, in some ways an influence on the original Creature from the Black Lagoon, because it's the same basic premise that we follow this scientific expedition into a unknown jungle tropical place and find this lost creature. And it's not quite as central to the creature, but there is a love interest woman in Creature from the Black Lagoon as well.
So there's this thread running through about the kind of dangers of science, but it also seems like in a lot of these movies we've discussed that the writers and directors might be trying to tell us a little something about how we interact, even in real life, with those that aren't like us.
Yeah, and I think the film is very strongly meant to be a kind of political allegory, really, for our times, even though it's a fantasy version of the early 1960s. It's not coincidental that the most sympathetic characters in the film and the most sympathetic towards the fish man are a disabled woman, African-Americans, a gay man, and this kind of coalition of people who are marginalized, victimized, insulted, attacked in different factors and different ways in the film. It's very clear that we're meant to sympathize with those characters and not the sort of dangerous straight white men, as a matter of fact.
It also seems like something that comes along with sympathetic monsters is evil humans. We still need a bad guy, and if the monster is going to be good, then the humans often seem all too willing to take that role on.
Usually what happens in these kinds of stories is either people are afraid of the monster and immediately just want to kill it, or they want to exploit it in some way. And we have versions of that in this movie.
Rick Warland, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Shape of Water is in theaters tomorrow. It's much colder today with a chance for a rain-snow mix. Forecasters don't expect snow accumulations or impacts, though. And the forecast also look for temperatures to hold in the 40s in the DFW area. It's 42 now in Dallas, 40 in Fort Worth, 33 in Wichita Falls, and 43 degrees in Tyler.